League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Thursday, the 15th of April, 2021. On the podcast today, Vadim Alexander, head of healthcare at SP Angel, discusses Novacyt's contractual dispute with the DHSC, which they say will have a material impact on Q4 2020 revenues. Also on the podcast, at the end, two lists I have for you. As always, the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours and the top five most read RNSs. By the way, you can see both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk. We'll also see a host, a plethora of other content. I lost the word there. You've got an article on React. See strong organic growth. There's also a video there on Northbridge Industrial Services with Paul Hill talking there, and of course Peter Harris there of Northbridge. Plus, there's an article on Deliveroo and 600 Group and Iofina. Plus, let's check out the COVID-19 index. Biggest rise of the day. Totally PLC doing very well. Wendy appeared on the podcast, of course, the other day, and very confident about the future, and of course, this year as well has been very good for them. Biggest faller is Hemogenix Pharmaceuticals, and in fact, next to that is Novacyt. They're down 3.8% to 408, and Hemogenix is down 6.25 to 4.125. Check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Vadim Alexander, Head of Healthcare, SP Angel. You all right, fella?
How are you doing, Justin?
Yeah, I'm good. Now, it happened last week, but it's been the king of the testing stocks. You know, it's been the best performer last year, Novacyt. It did, like, what, 60 times its original value in 1 year in 2020. And this was because it really cashed in. And you know, it hit it out of the park. It was the poster child for cashing in on COVID testing. And then, you know, it's been rallying strongly. In fact, it seemed undervalued, some people may say. But, of course, we have lack of transparency of foresight for how long this testing will be around for. So I suppose that, if anything,
correct,
it drags on the price a bit. Because, you know, when you look investing in normal stocks, you want to be able to say 12 months, 3-5 years out, maybe, looking at that kind of revenue. But you can't with these kind of companies because you don't know how popular it's going to be. But then we had this bombshell last week. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, so this is Novacyt, correct?
Yeah.
It was quite a difficult announcement, I think, from the company to make, in that you look at contract law and, you know, they were relying on a contract from the DHSC, which is quite substantial. This was announced, the contract was announced in September last year. And it looks like the DHSC and Novacyt are now in dispute over this contract. And that's what the announcement said. So there's implications for future revenues on that contract. And certainly, you know, that I think is now pretty much no longer a question for the business. They don't expect much revenues from the DHSC contract, which means that, you know, their forecasts for this year are pretty significantly compromised. So that's what the announcement essentially said. The other bit that's a bit of an uncertainty still, well, it's considerable uncertainty, is this Q4. They say that Q4 last year could also be in dispute as part of this contract dispute with the DHSC. So, you know, there might be a clawback as well.
Yeah, so, you know, that, so saying, regretfully, yeah. I'm just reading now, regrettably, the parties are now in dispute regarding the contract, which may have material impact on Q4 2020 revenues. And they say they're taking legal advice. So, I don't understand what could be in dispute? The amount they're supplying, or the amount they're getting for the tests, or all of that, or what?
I think, you know, there's very little detail in the announcement, right? But here's what I think is happening, and this is not this is just my own guess, is that I think the DHSC is in a position where it has too many tests. I think that's just the bottom line now. You're seeing it elsewhere. They've had some other contract disputes with other listed businesses, and what I kind of glean from the press is that they are saying there was some talk of, first of all, FTSE 100 companies receiving tests for free. Then it went down to companies with 500 employees. Then every company in the UK can get a test for free. And then now, every UK citizen can get a test, two tests a week for free. Okay, so it looks like I think there might be an overpurchasing of tests. Now, who knows if that translates directly into this dispute? I just don't know. But I'm starting to get the sense that the DHSC is probably full up on testing for some time. Certainly in this announcement, it make it pretty clear that they don't expect much from the DHSC in the coming year. And then now this dispute resolution is to resolve, what's been ordered to date. So we're going to have to be, I think, at some level, we're in the dark as to when that dispute will get sorted. And, that's kind of the negativity around this statement. Kind of the silver lining there is that they did announce Q1 revenues, and they're substantial again. It's 83 million in revenues, and the other bit to that bit of the announcement is that the 50% of that 83 came from other sources, which I still think is quite, that surprised me. That silver lining, I think, is important in that it is not all gone to zero. Right?
But 83 million euros, approximately 50% of Q1 revenue driven by sales from DHSC. But part of me thinks they're probably above 50, just a bit of it. And then they've said, right, it's about 50. But what's worrying here is that I can see the narrative, because if you go back when, the government was really up against it with deaths and cases, and, this, the way out of this is a vaccine and testing, and yet they didn't have a vaccine, of course, back in the day, sometime last year. So they were throwing everything they could at getting testing up. And, they said, we're going to get as many tests as possible. We're going to test a million people a day. And so they probably agreed to every kind of company that could produce tests, every kind of company. But surely, if they're shrewd enough, from a legal point of view, I don't know how much pressure they're under, they would have some kind of legal, clause in there saying, if we don't want, this amount, we can agree to this amount early or whatever. I don't understand where the dispute is coming from, because, one of them's wrong, aren't they? One of them is not going by the contract. So,
correct.
If Novacyt just drops this now and goes quiet on it, then we probably realise the DHC is right. DHSC is right and those are wrong. But if they continue to pursue it, maybe they are right. And it's just the Department of Health have realised they've ordered way too many. They're now drowning in tests. That lag between the pressure they were asking for everyone to send them tests and now actually them, all these companies, manufacturing and gearing up to it, do it and supplying them. Oh, hang on, we're drowning in tests. Whoa, too much. And
exactly.
I mean, it's interesting to see how this plays out. Who's at fault here? Because,
the statement does say they're in a strong contractual position and they're confident and are pursuing it. And if that's the case, and I think it is, they have every right to do so. It's just unfortunate how this has all panned out, right? In that I don't particularly, there's no fault anywhere here in that, a government is correct in trying to source tests as quickly as possible from every source as possible, just as you mentioned, in such a crisis. It was an overwhelming situation for any government, right? And if you remember, tests were hard to find, earlier on in this crisis. So that all makes sense. The problem is then what comes afterwards when you get the opposite effect. Do you break contracts or do you find loopholes in contracts? Or do you, all of that is still to come, is to figure out, what happens next. Is the contractual, I would think that both parties are interested in a contractual dispute ending as quickly as possible, right? So yeah. my hope is to see an end to this dispute quickly, whether it's a settlement and a sterling figure attached to that, or anything protracted is bad for both parties. Actually, it's not good press for the DHSC either to be putting pressure on local champions that were quite instrumental in helping the government at the beginning of the crisis, right? So yeah. I'm hoping to see it resolved, but unfortunately right now there's no, for that element, it's hard to say what's going to happen. I do think Novosibirsk, because they stated it in their announcement, is in a strong contractual position. But then again, these things could take a long time sometimes. I just don't know. That bit is unclear. I think that's what's taken, a pretty hit. They've taken a pretty big hit in their shares. The part that I do find encouraging is the 40 million in non-DHSC revenues. That was more than I expected. Yeah. It's quite a bit. And it goes to show you how things are shifting to the private sector, and in this company's case, to the international sector as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I wouldn't annualize that until we get more visibility. But you're still talking about significant revenues this year.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, so, does this have a knock on? Because I was chatting to Jaylek Hughes, who's executive chairman of Source Bio, and they've knocked it out of the park as well as far as testing is concerned. I mean, this is the financial results. Their revenue increased by 139% to £50.7 million. Gross profit increased by 135% to £20.5 million. Cash balance went up from £1.2 million to £8.4 million. So they've tripled digit percentage gains on all the things. But he was saying, I can't think of the company, but Boston someone, who was a research company, and they were saying they believe testing will peak, I think I don't want to get this wrong, I think he was saying mid-2021 COVID testing,
yeah,
and then
yeah.
The taper off, there'll be other variants, of course, so it won't just drop off a cliff, but then there's another year maybe of COVID testing. Then when everyone's vaccinated, it won't be such a problem. The world still needs to be vaccinated. So This thing with the DS, the Department of Health there, did it knock other companies? I mean, you mentioned other companies there, where the testing companies also had issues. I mean, I assume this is a problem. If the Department of Health now saying we need to cut back on these tests, they're coming in through the door, we can't control it, we got too much coming in, surely it's not going to impact just one company. Because I remember looking I was surprised at how fast companies can pivot, and start supplying COVID tests. And like companies on the tender list for the NHS from all around the world, from China, from America, everywhere. And I thought, wow, it's very competitive. I thought it was quite a specialist thing. I suppose it is, but there's still lots of companies doing it,
Yeah. Well, I think, okay, so you and I have been discussing this for quite some time, and it was always difficult to call the end of the peak, right? But I think we were discussing exactly that. I mean, certainly our forecast was that H1 this year would be the end of the peak, and then it would start to migrate downwards towards a new normal. Okay, so two things. One is the bit that surprised me is the abrupt contract type disputes that with the DHSC. That is a bit of a surprise, because a contract is a contract, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And how these contracts end to have a contract dispute would be kind of an ugly denouement to this whole thing, right?
Yeah.
But nevertheless, it is what it is for that bit, okay? Mm-hmm. But what I do find interesting is how this is all going to come back to what the new normal is. And it's that new normal that I see the silver lining in that second bit of the revenues in Q1. You see it, I'm talking more generally, using Novosibirsk as a barometer of what that new normal could look like, okay?
Yeah.
And, 40 million in private and international sales is quite a substantial amount for one quarter, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. You're talking about Source Bio, that's a good example. We are probably looking at a new normal that is substantially higher than what we had pre-COVID. And I do think that there might be some surprises in terms of variant testing, right, that are coming, as in upside surprises to demand for variant testing, right? Because we're clearly going to need variant testing, and that's in the pipeline, or, from others, but from Novosibirsk, certainly. So hopefully we'll see a substantial run rate of new normal in the next quarters, okay? I do think the DHSC game is up. I do think that. I think that if they're breaking, or, you know, and again, I don't want to put words into people's mouths, but if there's a contract dispute across the board with others as well, I would expect that. I think you're right. I think you would expect that from others. I think Abingdon and Omega Diagnostic Diagnostics or other listed businesses in this space were part of a consortium that also had some kind of dispute. I don't know too much about the details of the dispute, but it was similar. So, you know, I wouldn't expect much more from the DHSC across the board. I think we're in a situation where they've overpurchased and now they're unwinding that. And how that looks is hard to tell. But what I would look for is the new normal in private testing, exports, and new tests being administered, like variant testing. Yeah. So that's where I'd look. And that's you know, the stock is re-rated, and then you have to make a decision as to whether or not, you know, the dispute hangs over it, unfortunately, because I think we need resolution on that. And, you know, whether positive or negative news flow comes out of it is hard to tell. But what you can look for is future revenues coming out of the ex-DHSC sector on this new re-rated, you know, multiple. So now what the stock, I think the stock price is re-rated to about 300 million sterling. We know about 100 million of that is cash. Again, ex-dispute, you know, the dispute, we don't know what the clawback could be. But nevertheless, you're looking at revenues this year of 83 in the first quarter. Who knows what the subsequent three quarters are going to be? But if you've done 40 in ex-DHSC revenue in the first quarter, then you should expect some more in the, you know, next three quarters. And I think that sector is growing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if the company ends up with over 100 million in revenues this year, then you have to look at, well, it's trading on 2x revenues, right?
Yeah.
EV
yeah,
to
yeah.
revenues, yeah. right? So then, you know, yes, there's this dispute, which is, you know, hard to tell what's going to happen. But, you know, that's substantial revenue still in this business.
Yeah.
So,
those
are the calculations. I think it's too early to tell today. But I think we're going to, you know, we'll get some more visibility with the company's results. Hopefully we'll have an outlook statement there and get some more clarity in the coming couple of months.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow, it's a big drop there. But one thing I do know, the time to get into this was last year.
You know? Yeah, no, it's, you know, it absolutely. I have to say this is quite disappointing.
I mean, in fact, not even last year. If you got into this, like, I suppose any time pre-May this time last year, but in fact, this time last year, I mean, perfect. Because, in fact, it spiked up. In fact, look at that. First day, what day are we today? Was it 15th? Yeah, well, on the 9th of last year, 14th already, 9th of 14th, on the 9th it already spiked. It went up 46% on the 9th of April last year, and that was the start of the realization that Novacyt, wow, they've got something here, you know, and some clever people, fast people were in that then. Was that what you, did you get into it?
I never held this stock, unfortunately. I missed it. It's one of my great misses. Last year was a phenomenal return for the business. It's still actually, you know, trading at a level, you know, that was never expected in Q1 last year, right? It's still, you know, up from lows of about, I think it hit a low of 6 or 7p in November 2019.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So here we are up substantially still from then. But, you know, that's little consolation to people who got in, you know, over 500p, right? It hit highs of 1,200p, you know, so 12 pounds. So, you know, but again, no one would have expected a contract cancellation from the DHSC. That is, you know, that's kind of painful.
Yeah, well, do you know what? In fact, going back last year, then the 8th of April, they announced a partnership with AstraZeneca, GlaxoSmithKline, University of Cambridge, and then the same day, at 7 a.m., a COVID test eligible for WHO emergency use listing. So two bits of news. And on the 6th of April as well, diagnostic, it's almost a year ago now, wow, diagnostic regulatory update and all that stuff. When was coronavirus, the first bit of news, because the rise was phenomenal, let's be honest. If you start the year, when we started to hear about it, 24 pence it was at, and it rose to like 12 quid. Wow, that's phenomenal. But
yeah,
now it's back at
yeah.
4 quid. Now it's back at 4 quid. But yeah, it's almost like a year. That's it's gone by very quickly. And we're still, do you know, I remember doing a survey on Twitter when first coronavirus came out. And I think it was back in almost more than a year ago, saying, do you think we'll still be talking about COVID in 6 months' time? And literally, it's more than a year's time now, and we're still talking about it, and it's still dominating the headlines pretty much, isn't it?
And I think that's where kind of this disappointment, this is, you know, look, it's disappointing to see this, because a contract dispute is not what was expected. I was hoping, you know, even if we didn't get the second phase of this contract triggered, I would have at least expected to the existing contract to be honored. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and that was in line with the forecast, is that then you would see, you know, peak sales of COVID come down in the second half of this year in a more systematic way instead of in this abrupt way. And then down to a new normal where actually you'll see the underlying sustained demand for COVID products come through. And that's where I think, you know, you just said that, you know, 6 months ago, we never thought we'd still be talking about this, about COVID. And in 6 months from now, if we think we're not going to be talking about it anymore, I think that's also wrong. I think we're still going to be talking about it in 6 months.
I think it'll taper off now because we'll get variants. But I mean, it's like anything. The biggest hurdle, isn't it, is actually getting a vaccine for the first strain out there. And once you've got that, you can tweak it. But getting that first vaccination that's effective, and you know it's effective, it gets all through the regulatory hurdles there as well. That's the biggest hurdle. So I think now we'll taper off because, like you said, Pfizer, apparently, they were saying this, is still, you know, high efficacy against all other variants so far, South African and Brazilian ones. So, I don't think, you know, I know the media like to play, they know fear sells, and they say, oh, there's people dying at age 40 in Brazil, but they are using the Chinese vaccine. It's got 50% efficacy, and just over that.
On vaccines, though, you have just bring up another point. You know how we're talking about overpurchasing in diagnostics. Well, I think the same thing is there's going to be an echo in vaccines. We've almost, you know, we know there's going to be an overpurchasing problem with vaccines as well, because we know we've ordered, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of millions of doses.
300 million, I think, we've ordered. It's five times the population. But I mean, some of those, though, I suppose will go out of date as well, because you have so many variants, you'll have to change them and tweak them. And so, already people are starting to worry about AstraZeneca. I suppose with that, though, the companies producing them a lot bigger, aren't they? The testing companies are a lot smaller, so they can take the odd contract cancel.
You're right. They're different beasts. They're much bigger companies. But expect some news flow there as well, right? Because now that we're seeing it in testing, the echo is we're going to see an echo in disputes. On vaccines, and then again, you know, some of those might get somehow transferred into repeat orders on future vaccinations. So there might be some quid pro quo there, you know, in those disputes. So you know, you develop a new vaccine for the next variant or the next, you know, year or annual vaccine, and then we'll take a hit on some form of some of the upfront vaccines that we've ordered. So look, but I do expect the situation. The one thing that's clear is that we've also over-ordered on vaccines. So expect more news on that front.
Cool, marvelous stuff. Yeah, it's funny how we've seen everyone rushing. It's the fallout now. We've got, we had the super demand for it and then the lack of supply. Then the supply really build up and meet that demand, but the supply keep building, and the demand going down a little bit now. They're going, whoa, it's going the other way now. We don't need, the demand has gone down, supply is over the top, and so it's gone the other way, isn't it? It's completely flipped. But very interesting, so what will play out here, because I'm surprised, like Novozet say, they're in a strong position. We'll see who's cutting the corners here or trying to pull a fast one, because something's gone.
Yeah. It is a difficult thing, and look, don't want to get political in a podcast, but it is a difficult situation. You know, the government needs to overorder. It in so doing, it shores up local. It needed domestic champions, because if you remember, everyone went domestic, right? No one could order internationally because every country was keeping tests for themselves. So they needed to produce them domestically, right? Companies like Novacyt met that demand by scaling up, right? Mm. And then to have that kind of pulled on them is also just as, it's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah,
do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, everyone's kind of trying to do right by everyone, right? So taxpayer, you know, government by taxpayers. But in the end, you know, if it impacts your national champions that actually met that demand when you were in crisis, that's also a tough pill to swallow for the companies, right?
Yeah.
So anyways, look, again, like I said, there is no right here, but it is quite difficult when these contracts get pulled effectively.
Exactly. Yeah. Marvelous stuff. Yeah, it's interesting. And we'll speak to you next week. Thanks, Vadim.
Thanks, Justin.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five. Riverfort Global Opportunities, 2.3% up to 2.15. At four, IMC Exploration Group, up 77% to 1.5. At three, it's Rambler Metals and Mining, up 5.26% to 0.5. At two, Valerian Blockchain, VLRM dot, well, it's on the acquisition exchange. And at one, Argo Blockchain Mining is down 5% to 190. Okay, time for the top five most read RNSs and most liked. And so at five, Power Metals, Director Shareholding. At four, Brand Shield Systems, extended contract signed with cryptocurrency firm. At three, Synergen Holdings and Company. At two, Simic, Atlantis Energy, investment under share placement agreement. And at one, 4D Pharma, participation in Jefferies Therapeutic Summit. And most liked there is Brand Shield and Emerson, Harvest Minerals, 4D. Yes, that's about it. Check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.